the coming revival. I'll explain in a moment, but would you join with me as we seek our Father? Our Father, we know that Thou art God, the eternal Lord, and beside Thee there is none other. You do according to Your will, and who can stay Your hand? And all we can do is bow before Thee, acknowledge these things, seek for a clearer view, a longing and loving heart, for Thou art worthy. Lord Jesus, that You have done and continue to do throughout time, we cannot imagine, we cannot grasp, cannot know. We talk of the depths to which You sank, but let it be more than words to us, more than talk, more than something that lies on our head, does nothing within. And now, Lord, we know that Thou rose or seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And we come today to worship Thee. I trust that's our purpose. We come to hear from Thee. And we plead with You for the Spirit of God to make us aware of our true condition. Of which category do we belong? The foolish or the wise virgins? Where are we, O Lord? And one thing that none of us can know in and of himself, herself, is exactly where we are in our walk, what condition we're in, because we always think better of ourselves than we are. And all our hope, our righteousness, our strength, comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no darkness, and giveth great things to Your children. Lord, it has been some time since there was a searching work of the Spirit of God in the hearts of people. We come, we hear, we get up, we go home. And it's making no change or no effect. But would You be pleased to cause that holy wind to blow upon us today? And the searching light of the Holy Ghost reveal to us where we are, who we are, and awaken us, O God. Give help in preaching, give help in hearing, and fix hearts and minds desirous of a word from above. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our Lord often spoke in parables, and he did so. He told the disciples, I'm talking in parables so that you can know and others won't be able to know. And here is another one of those parables in Matthew 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Now, children, that is our congregation, minus the young ones that God has not yet dealt with. Everybody else in here is a professor. You're either with the wise or you're with the foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. See, if all you're satisfied with is a lamp, you will be left out. Verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answering, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Now, I may bring this up again, but make sure that I don't let it slip. No one can tell any of us the time period from when the voice of that midnight cry was made and the bridegroom came. I don't know if it was days or weeks or months, but I do know this, that those that were not ready did not and were not able to get that they needed to be ready. And when I say the coming revival, I could have used verse 6, go ye out to meet him. And I know that if many, not here, but there, out there, just catch the title, then they're going to miss what I have to tell you. For a long time, 20-something years now, I've said that there would be no revival in America. And because of that statement, I faced ridicule. I've been mocked. I've been told that I was not a prophet and I did not know. But I still hold to that. On a national level, there will not be a revival. We'll get into what is here said, though. When I use the word revival, I'm talking about a renewed interest or attention in something of days gone by. Young boy might go through that stage where he likes model trains, and he'd collect and build on add to. Or when he got a little older, he might like golf, young man or young woman. And they had a real interest in that, and they would spend all free time they had on that they held their interest. And then marriage comes along in a family. And then the kids are grown and they're away, and you might have a renewed interest in that you had when you were a younger person. That's what a revival is. Now, many people in America are praying for a national revival. But I would like to ask them, to what God do you think people would be revived? To what Jesus will they have an interest in? And when I say there will not be, I am in no way limiting God. He reigns and does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. Jonathan was right, Saul's son, when he told the armor bearer, it's no restraint with God whether he saves by many or by few. All power belongs unto the one supreme ruler of the universe. Psalm 93, the Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty and strength. That's our God. Jesus said, when you pray, here's one of the things you include. Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. So I said that before ye. Our God can do whatever he is pleased to do. Yet a nation or worldwide, we can get to a place where God intends on doing nothing else for that people. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. In Matthew 15, the disciples, speaking to the Lord, said, Lord, don't you know that you offended the Pharisees with that you said and declared today? Christ said, any plant that my Father hath not planted, or every plant, shall be rooted up. Leave them alone. My Father didn't plant them. They don't belong to the church, though they know the scriptures. They are blind leaders of the blind. So a nation can get to a place where God never intends on reviving that nation, as can an individual. He will no longer speak. He will no longer deal with you. And you know what? Since you have made a profession, you will end up asleep if you are not constantly making certain that your vessel has oil and that you have a vessel other than the lamp. Do I have the Spirit of God? So now when I say the coming revival, I'm not speaking about hundreds of thousands of people being swept into the kingdom of God, ushered in. No, that's not what I'm talking about. That won't happen. Salvation and revival are two different happenings. Although there have been many saved when revival broke out in a particular place. But that's not revival, that's salvation. Revival is you having a renewed interest in that which you did some days, weeks, years before. You having a renewed attention to what one time, to what at one time held your attention. Now, this is a historical writer. Oh, I'll wait about that. There were a lot of people awakened in the 1700s when Jonathan Edwards had the Spirit of God fall on him and the church there. That wasn't revival. That was an awakening. Now, years and years ago, that's what I said, America needed an awakening. But then I soon saw that that's not going to happen because God has given us up. Many were brought into the kingdom when the awakening took place there in the church where Jonathan Edwards was. Now keep your place. We're coming back, but I want you to go to Zephaniah chapter 3. Now that's, if you just go back four books from Matthew, you'll run into it somewhere in here. Zephaniah chapter number 3 and beginning with verse number 8. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. Now when all this is taking place, verse 9, for then will I turn to the people. That's my people. A pure language. There is no mixture. They don't talk about the world out of one corner of their mouth and talk about God out of the other corner. They are consistent in their language. It is without hypocrisy when this people speak. Will I turn to the people of pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord, to serve him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring my offering. Now when that day comes, in that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of them, out of the midst of thee, them that rejoice in thy pride. And thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mount. I'm going to gather all the nations and pour out on them my fierce anger. But I'm going to do something with the wise virgins. I'm going to work in them so that they'll return to a pure, unadulterated language. Now listen to verse number 12. For I will leave also in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. Before our Lord returns, one final time, do not get caught up in this that he's going to catch the church out and then there'll be 7 years what's the word there, folks? Torment, anguish, tribulation, thank you. But before he comes that final time, there will be in the house of God, among the professors, the people of God renewed with an interest in their Savior. Like all of those at Ephesus that Paul wrote probably the weightiest that in Romans book of the Bible. Those at Ephesus were still very active in their works. But when Christ sent that last letter to them, he commended them for all the good, but he condemned them for this: thou hast left thy first love. I don't know where you are. Don't know if you love him. Don't know if you had an interest in him some years ago, but that's faded. And other things have come into your life and now has taken his place. I know you, for the most part, I think you're faithful givers. You're attentive in hearing. But that might only be a sermon, which will do you no good. The only benefit you get from being here is that you derive in a sermon it becoming a message from God to you. You've left your first love. Well, all seven churches in Asia Minor were all shut down. Can't find one there now. When that white horse rides through a land, it is always followed with a pale red and black. And that's where we're getting here. Now, in thinking about this the last two or three days, it has been to me a very convicting thing. And I'm not telling you something that it hasn't already affected me. Why do the people of God need revival? Why do you, as a child of God, need a renewed interest in your heart towards the Savior? I thought about that, and then I thought about me. I may be in as great a need as you. It might be a warning to me, Paul, to the Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Are you living? Asleep? Knowing that the time is drawing nigh. It is high time that you awake out of your sleep. Romans 13:11. And the night is far spent. It is time for us to cast off those works and get to the light. I thought of the virgins, not the wise, though they were asleep also, but of the foolish, and then of the wise. Which category, which group do I belong? How often and how quickly has this old world and life down here become a priority in living? It wasn't a deliberate choice. You didn't say, well, I'm going to choose the world and walk away from Christ. It just took a little time, because we're all children of Adam. He that was first is of the earth. He is earthy. All I need is just a little time. and a little carelessness throughout the day and throughout the week, and I'll be asleep, drunk on the things down here. We that are earthly, have that nature. I'm prone to things. You're prone to things down here. A job, a career, success, the happiness of your spouse, the well-being of your children, all that's fine, all that's good. But then again, I remind you, all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And I've got two eyes to look at everything around that is nothing more than lust and pride. I've got two ears to hear all the commotion, all the talk, and the world has such a strong gravitational attraction to my old fallen nature. God did not intend on sanctifying it. He only works with that nature within. So it's not difficult to see why we all must be awakened with a renewed interest in things above while the bridegroom tarries. I got two eyes to look around. I've got one eye to see him. That's the eye of faith. But it requires a great deal of effort to keep it focused. I see so much around me. I've got two ears to hear everything that's going on down here. But I've got only one ear in which God speaks. And sometimes the noise can become so great of things down here that it blocks out the voice of God. And I become dull in seeing and hearing. I get what those in the eye profession call myopia. I can only see things close up. I can't see things at a distance. But there will be a revival where God separates his people, where he leaves in the midst of his church a poor and afflicted seed, and they shall trust in the Lord. Isaiah chapter 51. Again, I tell you that it brought to me a questioning of my own self. I have hope that I am a child of God. And it is my duty to find out if I am asleep. And it is my duty as our Lord tarries to prepare and make certain that my vessel has oil, the Holy Ghost. Not grieve him, not quench him, be readily on the listen for him to say, "This is you." Or this is what you need to do. This is where you need to go. Now Isaiah 51, beginning with verse number 6. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath. Now as far above as your eyes can see, All that shall vanish away like a smoke. And as closely attached to the earth as you are, so earth beneath you shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. If you have a name written in heaven, you have a nature, you've been given a nature suited to that heavenly atmosphere. But the wise virgins fell asleep. And here's the judgment of God, the command of God for you. Be looking up, and then look on the earth in which you dwell. And everything's going to be destroyed. But last phrase of verse 6, but my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness. The people in whose heart is my law, fear ye not the reproach of men. I wonder how often we've offended God because we didn't want to offend somebody else. Neither be you afraid of their reviling. Now, I'm not saying go out there and attack everybody. Just be cautious that you speak a word in season, but don't be stirring up strife trying to convert the world. Now, here's what's going to happen. Here's what has happened. Children, it is happening. Verse 8, for the moth shall eat them up like a garment, silent, without them knowing. That's those men that are reproaching, reviling. And the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? And he goes on talking about God and what he's done. In verse 11, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing upon singing unto Zion. And everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. That's the virgins awakened. That's the virgins hearing the sound, trimming their lamps, and now have their attention and interest refocused. But all the time that I'm down here and not very careful, the indulgence of hidden sins continues to numb my heart. It steals from it as a moth secretly takes away from the life of God in my soul. And every now you've got to work, you've got to give your employer an honest day. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about giving God, seeking Him, knowing that your vessel has oil, and that a moth is not eating up his life. An unprepared indulgence in sin. That's like a moth. An unprepared and a hurried heart in secret devotions. Oh, that'll rob you. That'll be that moth eating away. Excess of attention to this old world, its gain, its amusements, that'll all that will produce a drowsiness from which you can't overcome. A lack of attention to heavenly things. Look up, look down. And my conscience becomes insensitive to the Master's voice because I have not looked after it as I ought. There will be no revival in the USA, but there will be for the sleeping virgins. Now, none of you can take any comfort. Well, I'm just asleep now, but I will be awakened. None of you can take any personal comfort in that. I'm saved, just asleep. No, no, don't be that foolish to excuse a sleepy condition. There can only be revival in that which exists. And the interest has faded. There cannot be revival in a lost person's heart because they've never had an interest to the Lord, to the things of God, to His church. A lost person can have a renewed interest in childhood likes or teenager likes, but they lost them. Things that they were fond of 30 years ago, but other things crowded it out. What about you? You did have an interest. Your soul was ablaze. What about when you promised God, when you got in that low place? Or you became concerned about your physical condition. And you said, Lord, if you'll get me out of this, you'll heal and help. But you forgot about that. We do. Now let me give you, when I said a lost person can have revival or an interest in former things, but a lost person cannot have revival that the scripture speaks about. Now, I'll add here about the revival in the Hebrides. Lasted 3 years down there, or going on 3 years, 1949 to 51. A historian account of that church. He said the church on the island is a complacent and slumbering people. Young people were turned off by the church. Many were alienated by a legalistic spirit, and duty rather than devotion became a way of living, which all led to a lifeless expression of faith. And then G. Campbell Morgan was down there, and it began with the people of God, but it swept through that island. Many saved from it, but they were saved because the people of God were revived. And here you find the virgins all were awakened. But as I told you before, five of them were on a point of no return. And as I said at the beginning, I do not know the time from when the message came that awakened them to when the bridegroom came. Don't know that time. But it would not have mattered if it had been a year or 6 years or 10 years or 50 years. They were already set. Somewhere back there in the past, they didn't heed the Spirit of God. And now no message will be of benefit to them. Being awakened till the bridegroom came, the wise had time to adorn themselves. They had time for that, to get back to that love and interest they had in him when they were first converted. But the foolish had already been sealed up. Already been given up. Revelation 22:11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Who are you? He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. Does that apply to you? God just leave you? All 10 virgins were asleep. To say anything else other than what I've already mentioned to you that would cause that? Well, maybe they told themselves it would be plenty of time to sleep, for his coming was somewhere in the distance. He might come for you today, might come for me. Well, we're in good health. Soul, take thine ease. We got a lamp. We've got enough oil in it that we can at least light it. Or maybe somewhere down or way back or sometime back, you said to yourself, when I retire, I'll spend more time with the Lord. When I retire, then I'll take better care of my soul. Right now everything's fine, but I've just got so much to do. Or maybe they were like those two disciples. Well, he didn't come. He said he's coming back the third day. Well, had those two disciples not been like Saul, he said, I've waited on Samuel long enough now. You bring me the offering. And he entered into the priestly office, which he was commanded never to do. Are those two disciples on the Emmaus Road? Well, he didn't come when he told us he would. All right, go back to Matthew 25 with me if you would, and I'll try not to hold you much longer. You already have had a little arrow pierce your heart, or nothing has taken place. Not much more than I could say. But Matthew 25, verse 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you do not know. I'm just speaking in my language, you don't know what day or what hour that the Son of Man will come for you. They found him again. They knocked on the door. I suspect there were hundreds, if they could have gotten to the door of the ark when the rain began to fall, then they believed Noah. But they didn't believe him for 120 years. Crazy old man down there building a wooden box on dry ground. I suspect there were many that knocked at that door as the ark began to rise. While they went to obtain that which was necessary to fit them for his appearance, they found out it was too late. Children, you've got today. Watch, therefore, for you don't know the hour, you don't know the day when the Son of Man shall come again. Right across in my Bible, chapter 24, verses 38 and following. I won't read any more after this, I don't think. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, 24:38 of Matthew, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. If you don't believe this day is fast approaching the days of Noah, then you're blind. They knew not. Two will be in the field, verse 40, one taken, one left. 41, two women be grinding at the mill, one taken, the other left. And listen, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord will come. You don't know, and I don't know. And how needful for every one of us, all here, that call him friend, companion, the one that I am eternally espoused to daily examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith, to daily make certain of your calling and election. Self-examination constantly. Am I asleep or am I awake to heavenly matters? Has the world dulled my senses to things above? You do not have sufficient oil if you aren't warring against sin, drowsiness being the one that could be the most destructive. You live in a nature in total opposition to God, Christ, and the things of the Lord. And you war, or you don't have sufficient oil. You do not have sufficient oil in your lamp if there's not a hunger and a thirst like it used to be. Remember when you were first converted, how you loved to get into the book? Is the oil waning low? And you have no hunger, and you have no thirst. Or the oil is not sufficient in your lamp if you have no desire for the church of the living God to be awakened in our day and to arise again. Have a renewed interest in that was our interest when first converted. And yet things down here have crowded out things above. And it's due to my carelessness and my negligence. And the oil is waning low if you've lost an awareness of his presence. Now, you're going to have that. Children, you're going to have that. But every time that it happens, there is a pursuit of him. the foolish virgins could live upon the letter of the word, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But a heart awakened desires to know what my Lord thinks and knows of me. A heart awakened is desirous of the Lord's work advancing. In my soul, my, have we not become so drowsy that even our own souls are not concerned anymore? Children, I don't know where you are, but I know one that can fix your condition. For I dare not say that any of you have crossed that deadline where he will never deal with you again. I can't say that. I have hope for all here and for the faithfulness of our Lord, even when we've drifted far, far away. Come back, dear children, to that interest that you had before so much down here has caused it to fade. You've lost that interest in that hobby. You've lost that interest in the Lord. Look around. What's caused it? Look within. What's caused it? But only you know whether you are awake or asleep. Awake thou that sleepest and arise. If that wasn't the command of God, then I'd have nothing to leave you with. But it is, and I can leave it with you. Awake and arise, for the gracious hand of God will receive all and any who come sincerely.